Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, I've got the jab, so maybe hopefully not at a safe distance for long, much longer.
Well, we got to give it some time to settle in.
This is correct. Then it's
even safer distance in the bullpen. Chris Zook, my pal.
He feels like he's the Hulk now because he's got the jab in him. But that's
good on you,
Brian. That's great. That's one more person who has it in Manitoba. And one day we might get out of this winter storm that we're in called COVID.
My secret, Zook, is that I'm always sick.
Well, that's a different story.
Is that because you're a Jays fan? Is that how it works?
Hey, Jays are
I'm being facetious.
We're doing this on a Thursday, so
they're not going to make the playoffs, but they're not terrible.
Whoa! Well, wait a second. Third best team in the America. Anyways, okay. So let's tip a cap. I think I'm going to butcher his name, Alec.
Alec.
Oh, I butchered the first one. I was trying to get to the second part. Why don't you, Manoa?
I think it's Alec Manoa. I think he's got some Samoan Manoa in him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's just say this. He's a big prospect for the Jays. Got called up and was fantastic.
Team.
Well, he's on probably a lot of fantasy teams. Someone picked him up early on ours, but he did 6 innings for the Blue Jays on Thursday night against the Yankees. And
7 strikeouts, no earned runs. What's up?
Great. Hey, guess get this. The Jays need it. You know, and look at Vladdy is having an MVP year, so there's a lot of good stuff to kind of, you know, put your hat on if you're a Jays fan. Except they're just, you know, they're in a tough division. Let's just straight up about that. I mean, you've got the Rays who've, you know, have gone 9-1 and they're rolling, and Red Sox are still there, and the Yankees are there. So I mean, they're in tough, right? But you know, you've got some young guys there, a good young prospect, and Vladdy just mashing it still.
Yeah, he's really good. He's 4-1 odds right now for AL MVP. So that's really
well.
Good.
Is that
the best odds right now?
No. Otani's 3-2 odds.
I mean, provided he isn't getting stuck in traffic anymore.
Well, I was gonna say here, Otani. Every week, I want to bring up something about him because he's just doing it.
Otani watch.
Yes, exactly.
He's incredible.
One, he hit the hardest home run so far this year at 117 miles an hour. And I mean, these are like cannons when he hits them, right? They're just rockets out.
It's crazy because like there was a 4-game stretch or whatever, right? So he, they were playing against, I think Oakland, and he hit one off his shoe tops. And then later in the same game, he hit one out from basically his shoulders.
Right.
And then they went to Boston for the next series, and he hit like a one-handed off one knee bloop that like when it went off the bat, I swear that was going to be like a fly out to like shallow left. And that ball just kept carrying. And all of a sudden it was over the monster. And I was like, what? Like, are you kidding me? He's a monster. He's an incredible player.
And not only that, as I've seen stuff this year where he's legged out a single into a double, he's legged out singles that are not very good and getting on base. And yeah, if they can kind of get rid of the traffic in California, he can make a pitching start somewhere this year again. And Michael, why don't you tell? Because I think that was crazy. Literally just happened
we're taping this Thursday night. He was late because of traffic, the Bay Area traffic, including the Bay Area Rapid Transit, and so scratched from his start, but he's allowed to DH, so he didn't get there in time to like warm up properly enough to be the starting pitcher. So they've, you know, shifted his start, but he's still in the game at DH, which is the incredible thing about Shohei Ohtani, is like, we got to find a way to work him in, even if he's like not going to be able to pitch for us.
He's incredible.
I saw this. So it's kind of weird because on the box score, Ohtani actually gets listed, or the one I saw on ESPN, he was listed as the first pitcher, but he has nothing there. But I guess technically he was, I don't know how. Anyway,
yeah, I guess he's not so much scratch as they put a different starter in, but I guess because the lineup card would have been submitted, he would be technically. Now the question is like, can they pitch him again? Cause there's no restriction.
He's supposed to be pitching. If this airs on Friday, he's supposed to be pitching on Friday going into the weekend. So, I mean, cause he
right. Cause there's no rule. He couldn't you know, back in the day, pitchers like, you know, would pitch multiple days in a row as starters. Sure. Right. So it's not unheard of. It's just kind of, it is strange to see that name in the box score and then just like zero innings pitched.
Right. And if you had him in fantasy, you're like, I got nothing for him, but you might get something. He'll play the next day and he'll still, you know, he's so
this is the amazing thing with fantasy, because of course he's split into two players.
Right. Exactly. Right. So yeah, do you get him on both, or is it
depends on the league?
So the Yahoo league, it was like he's a hitter and he's a pitcher, but they're separate, so he could be drafted twice.
Gotcha. Yeah. So it depends. Some leagues could have that. Some leagues count him as, I guess, one Uber player, which would be crazy. I don't know. I guess you just flip him. I guess I'm not too sure. But anyways, I mean, in real life, Ohtani.
What's the thing? Like, he's so good. He's like, he breaks systems, right? Like this is like a fantasy baseball system that's been around for ages. And it's like, I don't know how to handle rostering this guy.
And the best thing about this, well, not the best thing, but just the classic is you've got him just doing out of the world kind of fantastic plays and how he's, you know, performing this year, and the Angels still suck. Like, they still can't win games. It's just amazing how this organization has some of the, maybe the two, arguably the best players in baseball.
And now they've lost.
No, I know that. I understand that, but they still have Rendon, and they have, you know, they do have other
forgot about Rendon.
Rendon, they signed to a massive deal a couple of years ago, and I know he hasn't really lived up to that, but I mean, they have.
Hasn't he though?
Well, I mean, he's been okay. I mean, but you just forgot about him, Brian.
Like, yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's bad. It could just mean that I'm a bad baseball fan.
Well, fair enough. I mean, you know, I mean, they have Walsh, I think, as well as doing pretty well this year, I think, for the Angels. But I mean,
yes, he's got a .410 weighted on base percentage, 1.6 wins above replacement, slashing .381, .385, .583, which is pretty good.
Yeah,
11 home runs, 2 stolen bases, but that's it. They have 3 players over positive wins above replacement, and the rest are at wins above replacement or negative.
Yeah,
that's bad. But,
you know, and
ladies and gentlemen, the Angels.
Yes, the Angels of the last 5 to 10 years, easily, right? So, but I mean, every week, if he's doing something, let's keep highlighting Ohtani, because I mean, depressing. This guy is just insane. It's, well, I mean, you know, I mean, oh. yeah. you know, there's how about depressing? I don't know about depressing.
If they managed to waste two generational talents,
that would be unbelievable. Can we talk about this real quick here? About
two comparables, right? Like if you went back in time and told someone, hey, there's going to be a team in this age that's going to have Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle and are still going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah. Year after year after year. I mean, the odds are it's incredible that they keep missing it. You know what I mean? Like you would think somewhere in there, they fluke one of these, but right. I mean, it's just, wow. They're really not. They have a pretty good manager, right? Madden won a World Series with the Cubs. You know, he was good with the Rays. You know, he's trying to, you know, that's why they selected him as the manager to try and get him over this hump. And they just find ways of not winning games.
He sucks so bad, and it's so that's what I mean by it. It's so depressing.
Hey, speaking of suck, did anyone see those new era hats?
Oh yes, did I?
I believe they were called the local market hats. Is officially how they were describing them. Any thoughts on that?
They
literally took them off the
Microsoft
web,
like, Paint
3 hours. 3 hours.
Some of them were so ridiculously bad. Like
they were all really ridiculously bad.
If you haven't
just
seen
some them, of them,
by all means,
the problem partially
it.
Is like they were just way too busy. Okay, so if you have a subscription to The Athletic, Levi Weaver wrote a piece, and they have screen capped and like gift all of the hats. So if you're on The Athletic, I would recommend, it's a memorial for the now legendary new era local market caps gone too soon is the name of the article. And they go through like team by team, all the different things that like all the imagery and decisions, and they are bonkers.
But
you know, one that I enjoyed was, in talking about Baltimore, you know, they said, you know, drawing the line at the creepy floating Edgar Allan Poe head, whose idea was it on an Orioles cap to honor a Boston native and years-long New York resident whose greatest work is connected with Baltimore's football team and whose death in Charm City came in a delirious drunken stupor.
And that's pretty much
it,
right?
But all of it made no sense. The area codes were insane because some hats had like three or four or seven of them. Some had none. There was one.
Okay, so
Cincinnati had one.
The only one that had none was Pittsburgh. But that's because there is there's a local clothing brand that has.
Oh, do they trademark the
trademark rights on putting the Pittsburgh area code on clothing? So okay. MLB's decided instead of paying them that it just wasn't worth it, which makes like
absolutely
no sense,
well,
for Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball.
But the other thing was crazy is like one of them was like Tampa Bay had the area code. They had they didn't even have the area code for like St. Petersburg on that.
No, it's the area code for Tampa, the city.
Yeah.
Instead of St. Pete, where they play. Which, to be fair, Tampa should be playing in Tampa and not St. Pete. But they do play in St. Pete currently, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, all of it was really bad because there was a couple other things I read about was like the Nationals one had like 1776 on it, and people were saying, you know, like DC wasn't a city like till the 1800s, right? Like
it wasn't birthed so poorly, researched. The American Revolution did not start in Washington.
Twins one, it had like an amoeba on the front or something. Did you see that one, Michael? But the Twins one, like there was some blob on the front, like it was like clip art, right? Like some of these things look like they just literally grabbed them from some screen, some just random, you know, generator of something. Maybe they had like tacos for like the Angels, I think, or a burrito or something on the back of the
every single one of the California teams had palm trees and tacos.
So it was it was a lake patch on the front.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah, it looked really bad.
And the Blue Jays had poutine on the back because, you know, Toronto is well known for its poutine, right? right?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Yes. Pardon my language.
Well, I tell you this. Anyways, I guess like the pushback was so insane. Like, I think they only went 2 or 3 hours before they literally just took it off the website.
Two hours. It was like an hour. It was like 2 hours and again, 39 minutes or something.
Glorious
ridiculous
decision by the. Oh, maybe they got more pub for that than actually the hats itself. But
well, I mean, obviously, they posted these, but I don't know if they ever actually manufactured one, right? Like, these are all like kind of essentially
they were supposed to be sold. What I read is
mock-ups that were supposed to be sold, but I don't think this is a situation where
someone still spent
like there's
going to
be,
let's be honest,
like a bunch of these hats showing up in like,
but someone had to okay this, Michael,
continental
right?
Africa, like, you know, after the Super Bowl when losing team hats all show, you know. Like, I don't think these actually existed other than like there may be like one hat for each team so that they could do the photos or something.
But I like this. I wrote this down too, because like, I guess the Royals, they made some fun of it on Twitter. They said they were like the home of the saxophone and the flag of Kansas City and pigs. Like the hat was just,
there was, yeah. Like, cause people were obviously like making their own mock-ups based on this, right? Like with even like more outlandish things, but like some of the team official accounts started getting in on it.
I thought the best one, not the team official accounts, but the best one was the one where they put all the trash can on the Astros head.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, of course. That's just brilliant. Yeah, well, you know, let's just, we don't pour one out. We just burn it right into the trash can. Whatever idea that was pretty insane.
Well, we definitely don't tip our cap at it.
No, absolutely. But not that cap.
We, not happening.
Hey, can I also, hold on.
Go for it.
Hold on here. I also, because we're doing this on a Thursday, so people probably have already seen it, but can we talk about the insane rundown that happened?
Oh, yes. The Javi Baez special.
So, when I was watching it, I mean, first of all, the confusion of just for Craig to not just step on the bag. But I was always under the impression that if you were running to first base and you went backwards,
you weren't
making an attempt,
out, isn't it?
I thought you were automatically out.
But
I was always under that impression, right? Like, am I wrong?
Michael, can you explain maybe to everyone before we get into it more, just like how insane this play was? Because
so this is Cubs Pirates on Thursday. Javi Baez at the plate. Wilson Contreras is at third. He's the catcher. Not a fast runner. I think I read that he's 155th on his.
Yeah, he's not fast.
His base running speed. But you know, he's a catcher. That's like not a lot of catchers are very fast. But Baez, the two outs. Yeah, so that's the other thing, right? Like, so they basically just need to get the one out. Only the throw to first is off the bag. And so he's not able to, you know, tap him out. Baez basically starts kind of going back towards home to essentially draw the first baseman to chase him so that Contreras can then like run towards home. The first baseman then throws high to the catcher, who then isn't able to apply the tag to Contreras, who slides in to score. Now, this is the other question, right? As far as like whether you're able to like legally go backwards on the base path towards home as the runner, is that the umpire then signals Contreras safe at
which
the plate.
He shouldn't have done, because Contreras
shouldn't have, because the
can't
runner
be safe until Javi touches first.
Until the batter, what's happening with the batter has been resolved.
Correct.
Right. But then what happens is Baez starts running to first.
And there's nobody covering first.
There's no one covering. And so then they throw the ball away. And Baez not only gets the first, he then advances to second on the errant throw. And all
and they even almost like they
almost throw it away again.
Threw it to the shortstop covering second. And he nearly missed it there. He was off the base. Baez, like, you know, stops short a second because, you know, he's safe there, but like conceivably, like, could have caused himself to get a triple in all of this.
So, it's so insanity.
It's so insanity, but it's so baseball, right? It's the sport you go only in baseball. Well,
seen this ever happen before.
Never kind of seen thing. This happen. Because the thing is, Craig, the first baseman for the Pirates, all he has to do
step
is
on the bat
first.
That's but all the man
a,
has to do.
It's such a brain cramp because it's a reactionary thing. He sees the runner come, so he's going to tag him up. And then Baez just kind of back paddles and starts going back to the home plate, and he just follows him for apparent reason.
It's some great base running because he essentially
fantastic,
just psychs out the first baseman. And like you said, the only thing he has to do is step on the bag, and instead Baez convinces him that he has to chase him down.
I could have sworn that was Baez running back was an automatic out. I think he
might be right, Brian, but that might just be an assumption that we just saw. Because you know what? There is an out if you go past the base pass, right? If you go outside of the lines, that's an out, right?
But he doesn't leave the base pass.
But he doesn't leave the base pass. So I'm not too sure exactly
whether we're conflating the rules, right?
I'm sure someone is, if our vast listening audience is listening right now, someone's probably going to send us a tweet.
That's the thing about baseball is the rules are just so freaking convoluted, right?
Right. Because it goes back to Michael's point. Have we ever seen someone running backwards?
Well, I guarantee you we have. Well,
somewhere, but to this extent where it actually causes a run and it gets all the way to second on literally a ground out that should be just thrown to first and it's out.
I think it was the Athletic piece about this play that was had this been something that happened during one of the first games of baseball when they're establishing the rules, the players might have been maybe we should come up with a different game because this is just ridiculous.
Right, but it also does kind of sum up the Pirates kind of going this year. Right now they're a bit of a sad sack team so far this year, so I mean I guess a little bit of levity because they're just not winning games this year, so I just thought that was owned. a classic baseball moment.
If you want to mute the play, if you find it on Twitter, and just cue up the Benny Hill music, by all means.
Yeah, the Benny Hill music is exactly the right call on that.
Okay, yeah, what a mess. Michael, what do you got here? What else you got here? I got a couple more today.
Well, the one that I wanted to talk about, I did forward you guys the Peter Gammons piece about injuries, and I mean, there's two aspects to it, right? There's the start-stop season of last year, right? You had spring training, then you stopped. Then we went back for another abbreviated spring training and then the 60 games, affecting, kind of the normal rhythms of players' routines and habits. And then because we had more teams in the postseason, we had a shorter off season for players. But then the competing aspect of seeing more injuries because we're breaking records in terms of IL stints for teams at this point, is that changes to expectations around performance. And this is, Gammon cites it to the year-round, at the youth development level, year-round kind of aspect of play, but also the increasing kind of focus on power and velocity for pitchers. And essentially burning out arms, and then the homer or nothing kind of launch angle swings and big swings for hitters. And he talks about someone like Ted Williams, whose launch angle was 7 to 9%, and a launch angle of 15 to 17 is kind of what people are going for these days. It was a really interesting article about we've dug our own grave essentially on these injuries, that we're going to see more and more of this. And I think it ties into the same discussion we've had about, we're going to see more no hitters, that we're going to see guys throwing 100. That's great. I mean, it's exciting when they do, but the thing is they're going to blow their arms out.
Well, sure. I mean, Noah Syndergaard, just pour one out for him. It looks like he's not going to come back anytime soon. And that's just one of a bevy of, a ton of big name stars that are out right now. And this is not good for the game, just period. I mean, you want to see these guys on the field, not off the field.
Right. And that was kind of the lead of the Gammons articles, of course, that Mike Trout going on the IL, and the fact that, you've got guys like Corey Seager, Mookie Betts, like stars of the game dealing with injuries. And it's just like kind of the, it's going to be the norm that you're going to lose these guys for periods of time. And it does tie into that thing we've said in the past about like needing to have players to attract new fans, right? Like this needs to be a personality based or like driven league. And you're going to keep losing these guys to injury based on kind of the way the game is played. And so that's going to affect the way you market the game and the way fans are attracted to it. And you know, how invested they are in it.
Yeah. I can't agree with you more. I mean, the stars need to play, right? Sure. The stars need to play.
Yeah, and it's just like any league, right? Like if LeBron is not playing, right, that doesn't help that sport. Or you know, if Connor McDavid's injured, right, that's not going to help the NHL, right? And so you know, having Mike Trout out for you know maybe 2 months, well, that's awful. That's maybe arguably the best player in the league, right? If Otani went down, I mean, that would just be, you know, just let's hope that doesn't happen, right? But yeah, I mean, these are huge stars. You know, Tatis went down earlier this year. Springer has only played 4 games this year, right? Like these are guys that only are stars, but these organizations have spent a lot of money on contracts for these guys to be playing and not to be on the IL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not even including obviously the COVID IL, you know, as Gammons points out, like that's like a separate thing that creates its own havoc with kind of schedule and rhythm and conditioning. But just kind of and the other thing that I thought was fascinating, this was the thing around like the velocity does not equal control. And so we're seeing more hit by pitch. And so then you've got injuries to both the hitter and the pitcher in these situations, right? Like you got broken hands from hit by pitch, but then you've also got blown out elbows from hit by pitch.
It's a lot to talk about. And I know that it's not like our journalists asking our premier, it's not their jobs to figure out the solution, but do you guys have an answer for this? What would you guys do to fix the problem? Or even like, do you have anything close to an answer to fix the problem kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a good one there. I mean, we talked about that last week and this kind of keeps revolving around the game about sort of, you know, the ball and play, right? I mean, for me, it's not going to solve it, but I think one step is that I think you do have to eliminate the shift, right? You have to get the ball and play more.
But that doesn't stop. That doesn't stop players or pitchers from.
The problem is that I think that, you know, but you're, I don't know. I mean, I would go back to a bit is that, you know, the incentive is to throw velocity, right? That's the way that.
Right. But I mean, like getting rid of the shift. I agree that a shift is a problem, but getting rid of the shift doesn't stop. All it will end up doing eliminating the shift will force pitchers to think that they have to strike out more batters. So they'll probably aim for even more velocity.
Right, because I don't know how you disincentivize throwing hard.
You can't.
Or attempting to hit home runs.
It's always been there, but now it's to...
Well, I mean,
Nolan Ryan, you know, pitched 100 miles an hour in the 70s, right? Like, I mean, like, you know, there are... But the power pitcher has become the norm of everyone has power pitchers, right? That you need to have that, and you have a whole stack of them in your bullpen because everyone has to pitch, you know, at a certain level of velocity. I don't know. Right. I don't have an answer for that. I mean, that's a bigger question that, you know, I guess that, you know, they're trying to, you know, deal with that sort of in the minor leagues to try and figure out what can work a bit to maybe, but this is something that's going to take years, right? Like it just can't change overnight, right? I mean,
no. And I don't know, like, I don't think there's like a magic bullet rule change to disincentive, like to, I mean, because obviously there are players who have a lot of success throwing hard, right? Like, you know, you get a lot of strikeouts and, you know, the home run, like if everyone's not hitting, you know, like high average, but you're amongst the group of people who are getting a lot of home runs with that low average, then that, you know, helps you in your contract negotiations and, you know, in the award season and stuff like that. So there's no,
There's no penalty for having 200 strikeouts a year now. Right. You know what I mean? If your batting average is low, but you still hit 30, 35 home runs or whatever, people will take that trade-off. Right. And,
sure.
You know, I mean, so that's going to be the trouble is that shift it? I don't know if there's a quick and easy answer for this at all.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I mean, the Gammons article doesn't present answers. It just raises a lot of questions. I do recommend folks check it out though, because it does just kind of tie into a lot of things we've been talking over the last like couple months, I think.
Oh yeah, totally. Can I do a couple of rapid fires before I want to I sort of begrudgingly going to tip my hat to Joe West. Set the major league record for most games as an umpire. I mean, that there's something to be said about that. I think the bigger issue.
Come on.
No. Hold on. Well, that is something, right? There's something.
We support
that.
Unions. We don't. There are two unions support. Union, and I don't support police unions.
Okay.
So Joe West has been able to call that many games poorly because he's got like dirt on like Bud Selig, I think.
Oh, sure. 5,376 was the record that he broke. But here's the two little nuggets that I found out about his big monumental game. I was a couple days ago this week. The Oak Ridge Boys sang the national anthem for some reason, but even more spectacularly, and this was, I guess,
At the first game or this recent one?
The most recent one, which is, Michael, you're right.
I couldn't believe it being either.
Right, it could be either or. But the more impressive, sort of, in my mind a bit, and this goes back to a bit more my era, but for some reason, Joe West requested this, and it came through. The San Diego Chicken was involved with a ceremony on field and was in the audience for the game. So that pretty much sums up sort of this record being broken.
Do you know that Joe West is a country music star?
Not the umpire, right? Joe West?
Yes. Cowboy Joe West. Go look him up when you get a chance. He's got, I think, 3 country music albums out.
You're talking about the umpire?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Real quick here, let me do
Wikipedia cited through a bunch of different things. West is known outside of umpiring as a singer-songwriter. His involvement in country music and his demeanor on field have named him the nickname Cowboy Joe West.
Wow.
And his music is quote-unquote described as 2 chords in the truth. It's simple and it tells a story.
Well, which that's
ridiculous, but he has appeared on Grand Ole Opry.
God. Well, I guess
released, I think, 2 albums, Blue Cowboy in 1987.
This is way too much information.
And Diamond Dreams in 2008.
I hope none of those will be played on the pity party later on. That's for sure. Hey, real quick here. These are two crazy baseball injuries or updates on that, which is only could happen in the major leagues of baseball. Zach Plesac.
Yeah, broke his finger.
Broke his thumb. This is what the official report was saying, that because he was taking his shirt off rather aggressively.
Basically caught his hand.
Yeah, something in his like shirt that. But he was upset. I think
the fabric didn't tear.
He was upset of his performance or something. He got caught. And then Michael, congratulations! Your Twins are now not the worst team in Major League Baseball. But Byron Buxton, his recovery is not going so well. I don't know if you heard about this earlier this week. They were saying he was having problems with deceleration. Did you hear about that one? Which makes
for my own mental health, I have stopped reading some of the bad news about the Twins.
Let me just tell you right now. Well, first of all, they swept the Orioles, so congratulations. But Buxton is having problems decelerating. So I guess maybe what he should just do is just keep running. Just don't
full
stop.
Steam,
just
the whole
just
time.
Full steam ahead there. Yeah. So, I mean, there you go. And baseball just gives us these nuggets every week, and I just love it.
One more quick nugget. I don't know if you saw the piece about Tony La Russa.
Oh,
the latest thing is that the White Sox replaced a seating area named Loretta's Lounge, which was named after beloved concessions worker Loretta Maselli.
I heard about
who
this.
Passed away in 2014. They've renamed it LaRusse's Lounge.
And she'd been there for 60 years, something crazy. Like yeah. She was there for like, and it was like she was brought out and they gave her this honor and she was there for the White Sox winning the World Series in the aughts there. But yeah, I mean, the White Sox, what an organization, right? Like to take away an honor for someone who's a long-serving person in that organization. I think she worked concessions for 60 years for that organization. Because I know Tony La Russa really wants that lounge to be named after him, right? Because yeah. This is a Hall of Fame manager, right? That like so, he needs that lounge to be named after him.
It's not necessarily something Tony himself did, but no, it's just but part mean, and parcel someone, of the Tony La Russa 2021 that, experience.
Right? Like Tony, like if he would have known the background, maybe he would have said, no, I don't think I need that. I think I'm all right. I don't need a lounge named after me. Why would that be? But whatever. I mean, it's all good about that. Hey, Brian, what's going on in the pity party before we get run out of time as usual?
Got a whole bunch of...
You got really, a lot of Joe West going to
no, this I don't think I'm ever gonna play Joe West, but some you new know, tracks.
How about some Barry Zito? You got any Barry Zito coming up?
I don't easy. Actually. I've got some new tracks, including one from a Nova Scotia band called The Goodbye Summer. Gonna be playing some local stuff from The Weaker Thans and Screaming at Traffic. And I'm gonna play a really heartbreakingly beautiful piano cover of nothing Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears.
And who's doing that version?
I don't actually know. I don't know who does
it's
the
like
piano
anonymous?
Cover.
It's like an
it's anonymous. Yeah. I found it online. I did like 20 hours of like intense research to try and find out who the heck it was.
I'll tell you right
unable,
now.
Unable. So if you know
people
who it
listen
is,
to
please let me know.
Exactly. People listen to the pity party and figure that out and give Brian a shout about that because you are going to listen to something that's not heard anywhere else pretty much in the world. Isn't
help us solve the mystery.
Help us solve the mystery. I even tried to use Shazam and it wouldn't work.
Well, no, I'm probably not. Hey, Michael, how's the Gold Eyes doing? Anyone know? I know they're still not here.
Imagine. Still not here. Won't be here for quite some time. Thanks, Brian.
Not our Brian. The other Brian.
All right. Start. Yeah. No. Sorry. The Brian.
The grand poobah.
BP.
Brian. Yeah. Exactly.
BP oil. Yeah. with that.
Count Pallister.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, guess what? Everyone just play it all.
Oh, Jesus.
Strike three, you're out!